The moment you've all been waiting for.
You what?
Well, that hit the spot.
Hello, welcome back to the Gothcast, which we are filming this time.
Rue!
So good to see
Sliding.
You.
Sliding. I know, in person. I don't know why we didn't ever try record the podcast over Zoom before anyway.
I know. Were we glam enough though in the first few lockdowns?
Oh my God, definitely not. I was like permanently in my pajamas for like 6 months, maybe.
Yeah, I feel like I'm only now slightly starting to make an effort. But the last time me and Kendra actually saw each other was the Gothies. The
Gothies.
It's been so quiet. There's just been so much going on, and that was wild, wasn't it?
Yeah, so wild. But it was amazing. Like, there's such a good response to it. And because we were really nervous about it, like, weren't we? Because, like, it's obviously we never did it like that before.
Yeah.
But oh, it was so good.
And, like, over 43,000 people now have watched it on YouTube, which is just mad.
It's crazy. Yeah, it's mad.
We were talking to different broadcasters about, like, possibly putting it on TV or on a player, and it didn't work out in the end. And then I was like, we were trying to even tell them what numbers we thought it was going to be. Like, I never knew how many numbers you were going to get. Like, 43,000 was just amazing. Like, I was so delighted to see it. Lucy Kennedy was amazing, and like, everybody got so dressed up, which I didn't honestly think. I didn't know like what was going to happen. I thought maybe one of them would, but there's a really gorgeous spread in VIP magazine, which is here somewhere on my table, of like everyone's so glam at home. So, like, that was just amazing. And it was so good to see you in real life.
I know, in person. We were like, hey, it's so weird because, like, obviously before the pandemic, like, we were literally around each other all the time, like, literally every day. And then, like, to not, and then, like, finally seeing each other in person again, it's like, hey.
It was scary as well because, like, I hadn't been in a room, like, indoors with anyone, literally, except for my family at Christmas. And when we did that, we all got tested. But obviously, we tested everybody coming in, and we had a really strict COVID officer, Patty, who was just...
He was so nice.
He was very strict. He literally wanted to wrap me in bubble wrap. He was like, you're high risk. And then anytime someone was even like slightly looking my direction, Patty was like, move away from Ali. And I was like, okay. Like, even though it was festive, but no, it was an amazing experience. And I think definitely it's shown us that there's an appetite for like live events, even doing stuff like this, like doing the Gothcast on Zoom. Like, we just want to start doing a little bit more stuff like that.
Yeah.
So how have you been in general? How are you finding this lockdown? It's nearly over.
Yeah, it's
that's like the response of the entire country right now. It's like,
yeah, it's just like, I don't know how to feel anymore. Like, I feel like I'm just numb to the whole thing, and I'm just like I feel like a plane could crash into my garden like right now, and I'd be like, right, okay.
Have you texted Kendra? Honestly, like, if you woke up tomorrow morning and there was dinosaurs resurrected from the dead and zombies forever, I mean, you'd be like,
Grant.
Like, no.
You know, like, just nothing surprises me anymore. So I'm just like,
it's weird to me because I feel like I'm coming out of this in a so much better way than last year. So when I think of last year, I was like really isolated. I wasn't seeing anybody. I was in my apartment on my own.
Yeah.
Depressed, like, didn't know what to do. Like, I just felt totally lost. And now I've just moved into this new house. I got my vaccine, which is in the column, which is out today. So because the amount of deaths, fucking wishes I've got since I got it, which has just been a roller coaster situation.
I still can't believe you got that reaction.
Response has been wild. Like, I put up on Twitter and Instagram first that I got offered the vaccine, and I honestly thought, like, people who've been following me, like, I honestly think people give out that I talk about how medically vulnerable I am. Like, it annoys people. So I definitely didn't think I needed to reiterate that, like, I was type 1 diabetic. I just put it out there, and it got such a crazy weird response even to just get the appointment. Like, so many people were like, why are you getting it? Like, that doesn't seem fair. My parents didn't get it, and all these people were like guilting me for like accepting the appointment. And I was like, right, this is wild. Then when I got it, I expected something, but I mean, I think I had 10 people comment under my photo like RIP, and then loads of people DM'd me with links to articles of people who died from blood clots, just being like, this is going to be you. And then a few of the people were like, you're going to be infertile. And then some of them were more passive aggressive. They were like, I hope you live a long life, but let's just wait and see, dot dot dot. Like, all these strangers who like don't follow me, And I'm like, if you're going to spout this whole my body, my choice thing, how can you criticize somebody else for getting it? That doesn't make sense. If you're genuinely believing it's everyone's choice, why would you want me to die because I've chosen to get it? Like, it's so weird.
People are so strange. I think being in lockdown has made a lot of people like kind of lose their minds a bit. And like, we've seen this where like a few influencers have spoken out about it, saying that trolling has gotten so much worse over the past year in general, because people are locked up in their homes, they're sitting on their laptop.
I think it's really bad at the moment. Like, obviously when that Instagram page is around, things are bad, but I actually think it's at that level again. Like, too many people have contacted me in the last even just few weeks, really upset about threads they've seen about themselves and things like that. And I'm just like, do people not realize that right now influencers, celebrities, whatever, are just as vulnerable as you are sitting at home right now? Like, anyone who's watching this, if you're having shit time, why do you think people in spotlight aren't having shit time? Like, I know Dr. Keira Kelly deleted her Twitter. I was actually talking to her the other day because, like, how are you getting on? Like, you know, obviously I saw you do your Twitter, and she was just like, the stuff that I was getting sent there was just so crazy. And she put up a comment on her Instagram the other day. I don't know if you follow her, but she put up what someone, an anti-vaxxer, had messaged her, and loads of people started tagging me in it because they were like, these are the same people that have messaged Ali or whatever. So I was just like, why? Like, where is the hate coming from? Like, fair enough if I was, you know, booked in for a campaign from AstraZeneca and I was like, hashtag SP, get your vaccine, like, then it's like, right, feel free to talk to target me and ask questions. But like, I literally was just like, I'm so grateful to get the vaccine. Like, you'd swear I was shoving it down people's throats. And the thing is that I was saying this on News Talk during the week, we don't live in like a dictatorship. No one's forcing people to get the vaccines. If you don't want to get them, like, whatever.
Yeah,
I think it's important that there's someone in the media or in the public eye on Instagram that's talking about it, because like, I don't know what you think about this, but I've noticed that a lot of celebrities and influencers just are not talking about COVID anymore, and they're not talking about the vaccine. And I think there's a concern from influencers and celebrities that if they say they're going to get it, if they say they're pro it, that they're going to lose followers and that they're going to annoy people. But I just feel like that doesn't matter. I'd rather lose 5,000 followers tomorrow and think that maybe I helped save one life in this country. Like, it just doesn't, the balance is like, it makes no sense.
Yeah, I think like a select few have been really good, like the likes of James Kavanaugh and stuff have been amazing. But yeah, no, like, I do agree, there's a lot of people that are just kind of
staying silent,
ignoring it, kind of just.
And like, I get things, like, when I talked about it and I got all this death wishes or whatever, I was like, right, this is why. But I was talking to my family about it afterwards and I was like, I don't regret it though, because so many people messaged me. So when I put up that I got the vaccine, or a lot of people were like, why are you getting it early or whatever? And I was like, well, I'm actually getting a bit fucking late. Like, I'm a type 1 diabetic, and lots of people had messaged me since February saying that they had got their AstraZeneca. So a few people messaged me, I'd say close to 60 people of all the people that messaged me to tell me they got the vaccine weeks ago and that they haven't even told their friends because they're so worried about the backlash. And that's
it's so stupid, because it shouldn't be like that. Like, if I heard any of my friends about to get it, I'd be like, oh my god, amazing, like, I'm delighted for you.
But this is what's concerning. Yeah. Like, obviously I talked about in my column last week, there's been a certain TV presenter saying all sorts on her Instagram, and I'm like, if we're looking at this every day and we're looking at conspiracy theories or suggestions, you know, that people faked getting COVID in the public eye, which is a wild accusation to make in the first place, if we're seeing that on Instagram, we need to see the opposite argument. Like, we need to see people in the public eye or people with a following going, I've booked in for my vaccine, or I can't wait to get my vaccine. It's not saying that you like medically approve of it. Like, I'm obviously not a doctor. Like, I can't say to you, get AstraZeneca, you'll be fine. And I was like one of the last people under 60 to get it. So like, do you know what I mean? I know they banned it now, but yeah, like, I really hope we start seeing more. And I've talked to some of the influencers and celebrities who are like, I'm really glad you went out there and said those things. I just hope that they're going to do the same. But I do think we'll see a few of them, but like, who knows when they're even going to get offered the vaccine now.
I think people are under the impression that like anti-maskers and anti-vaxxers are like these mad right-wing people that are like so distanced from them, but it's actually like a lot of people that you might not even know that are in your circles that are believing these things that they're reading on Facebook and stuff.
Oh, the Instagram, that one that we shall not name, is wild. Like I said, I called him last week. Like, we're keeping the receipts. Like, every day I go on, I'm like, that person just liked it. I'm like, what? I know.
And I'm like, did they like it by accident?
I don't know. People like things and unlike things. But this is why I'm just so passionate about making sure the right information is out there. And if I get death wishes over, then grand. Like, whatever. Someone has to do it. I just don't know who else is. Like, over in the US, it's very different, I feel. Like, even Ivanka Trump posted a photo of getting the vaccine. Like, she's one of the last people I actually thought would do that. But you've seen Ryan Reynolds, Blake Lively, who was Dolly Parton. She put up the sheet.
Like, her own vaccine.
Her own vaccine. But people have been so just different over there. I don't know. I feel like they're really pushing the let's reopen Hollywood. And then did you see as well, there's a new concert coming, like a pro vaccine concert.
Oh.
Did you not see that? So Selena Gomez is hosting it. And it's going to be performers, all the big performers, but it's basically to promote getting your vaccine. So that's going to be an interesting one.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. Let's see how the world handles that. Like, it's just,
yeah, I feel like that's going to tip people over the edge.
I was talking to someone about it today about how anti-vaxxers are also anti-lockdown, which is so confusing because, like, if you want the country to open up, do you not want people to get the vaccine?
Yeah, I just don't know.
Like, anyway, I look forward to the day where we're not talking about vaccines and COVID and lockdowns. Yeah. So this week we wanted to start off by talking about all things Meghan Markle and Prince Harry. Obviously, the last Gothcast was when? Was it Christmas time?
So we did our year roundup, which was like 3 hours long or something.
And now we're back. Okay, so obviously the night the Gothies went live on YouTube, Meghan and Harry's Oprah interview went live like what, 3 or 4 hours later. And it's mad to see how much of an impact it's made and is still making. Like, it's funny thing about Meghan and Harry, like, I know there's a lot of criticism about them. My main criticism about them is how they've gone about everything. It's not that I criticize her or criticize him. It's not like I don't like them, but I do find it odd that they're so anti-publicity, and then they literally talked to the biggest talk show host in the world. And it wasn't like, yeah, you know, it's been tough. It's like, the royal family are racists. I wanted to kill myself. Like, it was so jaw-dropping, like, madness. And now it's like, God, we're nearly 2 months since then, and the fallout is just still so big. Like, what have you made of the whole thing?
I don't know, like, when I watched it, I was very pro them. I was like, I felt really sorry for them. You know, I've always kind of had like a soft spot for Harry. And it just, like, I always think back to the time when like Diana died and he had to walk behind her coffin at his funeral. And it was just, I have so much sympathy for him. So I was instantly like, I feel so bad for them, you know, like instant sympathy. But then when people started pointing out like some things that they had said in the interview that kind of like
didn't add up.
Yeah, it didn't add up. So then I kind of started questioning it a little bit, but I don't know. I don't really know what to make of it. I feel bad for them, but I understand people's argument that they've gone about this wrong.
Mm. And I think as well, like, the craziest part of it as well that I thought was that Prince Philip was in hospital the week the Oprah interview went out. And I think that's what a lot of people have been angry about in general about Meghan and Harry. It's their timing of a lot of things they've done. Like, you know, even the first time Meghan was like, no one's asked me if I'm okay, they were on a trip in Africa meant to promote like the stuff that was going on there and the poverty and all that. And everyone was like, really? You're like in this third world country being like, for me. So people thought the timing was bad on that. And then I think with this, a lot of people were just like, wow, this is a bit insensitive, but I guess there's no good time to do these sort of things. But I agree with you. I watched it live. Like, I think I was one of the only people in Ireland that did. Like, everyone was
asleep. No, I remember waking up and seeing your tweets and being like, of course you watched it live.
I watched it, and like from, because of my background is journalism, like, I always try to look at things really unbiased and as balanced as I can. So I watched it, and I did feel so bad for her. And I hate that kind of, you know, I don't know, that mentality that women are always lying and stuff. I really don't like that at all. So I wanted to believe everything she said, but there was just one or two things, like you're saying, I was just a bit like, when she said they got married 3 days in private, and that, you know, it all got too much, and that day wasn't about us. I'm like, literally, you were on every single front page and every single newspaper in the entire world. Of course the day was about them. Like, it wasn't about the public. I just thought that was a weird thing to say. And then, like, the Archbishop had to come out and, like, be like, I didn't do anything illegal. I never did that. And it's like, they put him in such a vicarious situation where he had to, like, come out and deny that he'd broken the law. I was just like, why would you say
that? Yeah, I think the problem there was the way she phrased that. She should have just said, we exchanged private vows 3 days beforehand. Yeah. Not, she literally said, we got married. That's why everyone was like, what?
And I thought as well, I was talking to me and my family were all talking about this. There were so many parts of the interview that I liked and I did believe. Like, I genuinely did. Like, I don't think Meghan is making up the level of, you know, depression she suffered in isolation. And like, I would always believe someone if they said they felt suicidal, I would never ever be like, that's not true. Do you know what I mean? I do think that was true. But overall, there was just a few things. I felt like it would have been great if she took a little bit of responsibility, because you know, there's been all these rumors of like so many staff have quit and there's rumors of bullying, and like, we don't know what's true and what's not. I thought it was strange that that wasn't even mentioned. And for Oprah to do a really good interview, I just felt it should have been a little bit more balanced. And if Meghan had been like, you know what, things did happen over the year, as you can now tell, I was in a really bad place and maybe I did say and do things I shouldn't have. But it wasn't like that. It was all very much like, I'm the victim. And then she brought up Kate and she really landed Kate in it, I thought too, you know?
Yeah.
Well, she made me cry. I was just like, ah! So yeah, there was just, it was weird watching it because I know it was real life, but it felt like a drama. And that's what's weird about the whole situation is for people who seem to really not want this, it was done so dramatically. Like, even the trailer is like, you know, what's the phrase again?
Were you silent or were you silenced?
That is my name.
Amazing.
No, do you remember the boat that got stuck?
The Suez Canal or Suez? Is that it? Suez.
I don't know. What did she say? What was the one that kept going around? It was like... No, what was it? That man was so good. It was like... Anyway, but it was the picture of the boat in Meghan's seat. And it was like, I don't know, I need to find a book. The memes have been great. And can we remember that Oprah got $5 million to do this interview?
Oh my God, did she?
$5 million. Yeah.
That's your bag, Oprah.
And they're like, they're close friends and they're neighbors. And this was the other part that made me a little bit uneasy, because when Meghan arrived.
Well, like, I think we knew it was going to be slightly biased when we heard that it was going to be an interview with Oprah.
Why did Oprah start off by going, we haven't discussed anything? And Meghan's like, no. And I'm like, yeah, and I'm the Queen of England. Like, honestly, why would you walk into Oprah's garden, or not their garden, a friend's garden, that they really wanted to let us know that it wasn't one of their gardens? I don't know what that was about. But like, I just think, and also, do you know when she said her mother didn't know about the Panorama Princess Diana interview? I'm pretty sure aunts on Mars know about that interview, the Princess.
Yeah, I really like Meghan, but one of the things that annoys me is the way that she kind of pretends that she had no idea who Prince Harry was or how big the royal family was.
And in fairness, Oprah the odd time was like, come on, like, there was a few moments
where, yeah, she
like,
did kind of press her sometimes. Yeah,
well, yeah, I agree with you. And I just remember that article you wrote when they first got engaged, because one of her friends had said she had like the Princess Diaries in her college dorm or something.
Yeah, oh my God, that was ridiculous.
Like, that might not be true, but yeah, that's the thing. I just think I really admire Meghan, and I know I must give you their biography, it's really good. I read it and I was like, God, that woman has achieved so much. Like, you know, she's achieved things that like most of us never will. I do really like her. I would just have loved a little bit more, like if she had taken a little bit more of responsibility and been like, look, do you know, she said she didn't Google Prince Harry before the date and stuff. I was like, ah, come on.
Yeah, like, that's the kind of thing that annoys me. I think, like, I wish she would just own it more and be like, yeah, I freaking bagged the prince. Unreal.
I love her.
Like, it is unreal.
I'd love her to be like, yeah, I googled him and he googled me, but like nothing was ever going to prepare me for what happened. And that's a believable sentence. That's like,
but sorry, I google everyone. I google my freaking Deliveroo driver, like, do you know what I mean? I literally google everyone. Do you know? So no. Like I find it so hard to believe that she didn't google him. Like,
my stalking skills are wild, as Kendra knows as a fact. Like, they're wild. But I can't think of any woman in the world right now who wouldn't google. But especially if someone was like, I'm gonna set you up in a blind date with like this Prince of Monaco, I'd be like, oh my god, I'd obviously look him up. I wouldn't be like, he's just kind, you know.
I'd be on Google, Yahoo, every single search engine possible.
But the sad thing about the whole Meghan and this thing, I do actually like her. It annoys me that I'm saying these things, but like, this is just how it's coming across. Like, I can only comment on what I've seen. But the sad thing now is that obviously the funeral took place, we're recording this on Saturday, so the funeral took place today.
Yeah.
Meghan didn't come, like, she was never going to come, let's be honest. Remember as well, when they went to Canada at Christmas, Meghan did not come back at Christmas time. Do you remember that? So the Queen hasn't seen Archie in a very long time. So she stayed in Canada with Archie and Harry came back on his own. Now he's back on his own again. So we've heard like two different reports. Sorry, my next door neighbors have decided to mow their lawn. So if you hear a random rear, that's what that is. So yeah, sorry, I was just saying that we heard two different reports to why Meghan wasn't going to attend the funerals. The first one was that her doctor didn't okay it. She is heavily pregnant. That's totally viable. But then friends of hers went to the US press, which they tend to do quite a lot, and said that the real reason she wasn't going was because she felt her presence would overshadow the day. I'm like, I can't argue with that.
I think that's totally fair enough, because it would have.
But like, what do you think were the big moments of the day? So this is the thing. She didn't go, but now one of the main stories is that she left a handwritten note at the very beginning of the funeral. So it was there, front and center, before the ceremony started.
Yeah, I mean, I totally understand why she didn't go, because I think the headlines would have been all about her being there. And even still, Prince Harry being there alone, it's massively about him reuniting with the family after like a year. So yeah, I understand why she didn't go. The handwritten note thing, I think that was like the press trying to find some way to
maybe
write about her, like somehow being involved. But I don't know.
But why put it there at the start if you didn't want it to be known? This is what confuses me about her. Surely they could have given a private note to the Queen. I just find it a little strange. I know Piers Morgan genuinely hates Meghan, so I'm not at that level. But sometimes things he says, I'm like, kind of fair. Like, they'll be like, we're not putting Archie in the spotlight. And then they'll release a new photo of Archie. And I'm like, I'm just confused by what they want. And I think that's what the general public are. And obviously we're Irish, it doesn't affect us, but I think there's a lot of anger from the British, because it's like their family, like the royal family is like their family to them. And they're kind of like, why are you doing this? But at the same time, like, if they just want to go live their lives, I'm like, I don't feel like there's been much like negative press about them really since the Oprah interview, has there? Like, I know people have been breaking down stuff in the interview saying that's not true, this isn't true, but overall I feel like people have kind of left them alone.
Yeah, well, apart from obviously the whole Piers Morgan stuff.
Well, you know what, Meghan must be delighted. Piers is gone, Sharon Osbourne is gone. Like, she has created real change based on the interview she did. Like, that wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for the Oprah interview.
Yeah,
she did believe her and felt it was wrong for somebody on TV to question whether she was really suicidal, to question whether there was any racist remarks made. And I think that's why broadcasters started being like, we can't be a part of this, like, bullying. You know what I mean? As in the questioning someone who's coming out and they're saying, this is how I feel, and like, this is what's happened to me. And I agree with that. Like, I don't think people should be.
Yeah, I think there's just not a lot of clarity as to what they want. You know, they obviously wanted to leave the royal family, but from what I can see, they still want to be
in the spotlight.
I'm not going to say, yeah, I'm not going to say celebrities, but they want to be known. Like, even the fact, obviously they did the Oprah interview, but even the fact that Harry did James Corden, which was unreal, by the way, so good. It was so entertaining. But just the fact that he's doing stuff like that, I'm like, you obviously do want to be in the spotlight.
Right, when the trolley of tea like crashed.
Yeah, that was so funny.
He died. But yeah, you're right. And this thing, I don't care if they want to be famous, do. It's just don't say that you don't. Like, leave us alone. We want to be private individuals. And then be on a bus with James Corden on one of the biggest Friday night shows in the country, or Saturday night shows. That's my little issues. I think, do whatever you want in life. I've no begrudgery, but don't say one thing and give, like, the reason I've kind of been up in arms about them a little bit, and I've said this before in the podcast, is because they constantly give out about the media, and I always feel personally attacked, because obviously we're a media organization. Now, I know we've never been going through people's bins or recording, you know, voicemails, and there are media that have done that, so I understand that, but they're so negative about any media, and that gets to me, because there was so many media, so many publications, so many royal correspondents that did nothing but actually fight for them in their corner and write positive things. You know, fashion places that wrote really positive things about her as well, like she got to guest edit Vogue, like, but they keep saying that the media is like the devil, and that's what kicks me off. So I'm like, you can't say the media is bad, we hate them, but then do their own podcast, do The Late Late, do Oprah Winfrey, release statements to Harper's Bazaar. I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. If you don't like the media, why are you still working with the media? So that's the thing that grates me a bit. But like, whatever they want to do, like, I wish them a happy life, and I hope after this they do find a little bit of solace in it. But it makes me sad to think Harry came back today, and like, I mean, what did the pictures look like? Did it look like no one was really chatting?
Yeah, like, I obviously watched the whole thing because I was covering it on the site, and it was very like solemn, you know, like they all were wearing masks. It was very, you know, it wasn't like there was people shedding tears and stuff. It was very like, we're here to do this and then that'll be it kind of thing. And
I thought it was, I know it came out during the week that the Queen had to like reverse her decision and not allow people wear the royal uniform. I know there was different reports. You said that there is not a state funeral. That was a decision. But like, it does make me sad. Like, I do feel sorry for Harry. Like, he served in the army and he's had these titles. Yeah.
Like, and he actually like went on a tour in Afghanistan.
Yeah, I know.
He's like one of the only ones that actually did.
And the funny thing is, I feel like people always forget this about Harry. It's like the reason he did that tour, I don't know if you remember, it was after the Las Vegas photos. The Queen was like, right, off you go. Go to war.
God, bold boy. Like,
yeah, she was in. She's like, no, you go serve now. So he has had a wild side. I think that's another thing people are a little bit annoyed about, because Harry has had, in some ways, a little bit of a free pass, because William is the person that's next in line. So Harry hasn't had anywhere near as much pressure as William has had. And I think that's where a lot of the criticism has come from as well. They're like, Kate dealt with so much worse, William dealt with so much worse. Meghan comes in for like 18 months and then suddenly she's like, it was the worst time of my whole life. But, oh, I mean, it's provided a lot of entertainment, the Oprah interview, though. I'll give them that much.
Oh my God, yeah. But yeah, when I was watching the funeral today, I did feel really sad for Harry, because like, can you imagine the awkwardness of that? Like, after the whole, like, let alone him stepping down from the royal, like, as a senior member of the family last March, but then the fact that it's only a weeks after the Oprah interview,
uh-huh.
It's just so awkward, and like, you could feel
the tension.
Mm. Oh, it's just,
I'd love to just be a fly on the wall. Like, did they sit him down and go, Harry, mate? Like, will we see this in an upcoming Crown episode where they're all like, Harry, like, what's going on? Or did he literally just pop in and say nothing? I like, William, Shirley and Charles, they must have said something to him. Like, some conversation must have happened.
I don't know.
If I was Meghan, I'd be a bit nervous sending them back, to be honest. Because, like, I wouldn't be there to be like, what's going on? But she's obviously fairly confident that they've made all these decisions together.
And it's awful that, like, he had to go back without the support of her.
Yeah.
Well, so
awesome. One thing I really enjoyed about the Oprah interview was actually Harry. And I think I would have loved to for this to have been an actual Harry interview and for Meghan to come in the second part, because it's hard to listen to her talking about just 18 months. But when he came in and was like, I feel trapped, I felt trapped my entire life. I was like, oh my God, like that really like hit a note with me. And I was like, Jesus, like when you hear it from him and you just know that like he would never say something like that so flippantly, like because he knows the ramifications. Whereas Meghan is so new to the firm, I'm sure her weighing up in her mind whether to say something or not is very different from Harry literally saying my own family are trapped in this like organization where everyone is so miserable. Like when he said that, I was just like,
yeah. One of the things that really struck me was when he came on during the interview and said that his security was taken away. Mm-hmm. And the way he explained it, he was like, you know, I was born into this and the level of threat isn't gone.
Yeah.
Like this, I didn't choose this life for myself. I was born into this. And then for them to take his security away.
Yeah.
It was just like, it was just so unfair. And I was like, God, like,
no, that must have been such a scary situation, especially having a baby then as well. And you just want them to be protected. No, like there's no doubt there were so many things that were just like heart-wrenching to watch. And you want to be on their side, but I do understand the questioning of some of the stuff they said. And I think it's right to question things like calling the royal family racist. That's a huge thing to have said. And I understand that people in the UK are kind of like, did that actually happen? And to not name anyone as well, it's like it's a weird thing to do, but I think it was weird watching it because I felt like we were living history, like live. So I just feel like this interview is going to be one of these massive things that happen. Like my mum always says she remembers the Panorama interview with Princess Diana. Like
my mum said she remembered it as well.
Like no one even really knew it was happening. It was kind of like on the night they were like coming up and everyone was like, oh,
like, oh my God.
Actually, if you guys are interested in all this stuff, the Princess Diana in her own words on Netflix.
Oh, it's so good.
But
brilliant.
I loved this series of The Crown because I am so interested in Princess Diana.
Yeah.
It was really, really good. So yeah, I'm dying for this season.
Yeah, and the actors are changing the next season.
I know.
So that's gonna be mad.
That actress Emma, I thought was a very good Diana. Oh my God. But yeah, I'm excited for the next season of The Crown. I'm excited for the year. I hope they get to Harry and Meghan. I know the director, the creator said he's not sure if they'll ever get there. But now that they're literally an integral part of Netflix, they have this massive deal with them. I'm sure they could give them a few bits of information.
I feel like it would be a sin if they didn't.
I feel like Harry like is very pro The Crown. Like he's brought it up a few times in interviews and been like, we watched it and yeah, you know. I'm just like, sorry, is your whole family not like, this is great? Like, imagine, Kendra, a Netflix show being like The Beckers.
Some show.
And they like, dramatize parts and like add things that aren't factually correct. That's the thing that annoys me about The Crown, but it must be a protection thing to make sure it comes across as fiction. But like, sometimes I see things and like, they definitely never happened. So I'm like, why? Or I'll like Google after it's the episode and it's like, that never actually happened. It's so
Because like their actual real life is dramatic enough that they shouldn't have to change anything. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, why
the story on it, how like an entire season skipped past the fact that like Princess Anne was kidnapped.
Yeah, like, someone tried to kidnap her and then like tried to shoot her or something, and like they completely skipped over that. I was like, that's an amazing storyline.
That's like an entire season worth of
stuff. Yeah.
Poor Princess Anne, she's like, right, well, fucking like show my life.
I forgot. I know.
Barely like talk about it. It is weird sometimes. You forget about Prince Edward and Prince Andrew and Princess Anne sometimes. You're like, oh yeah.
Well, Prince Andrew, we won't be forgetting about him.
And that's the one thing in all this argument about Harry and Meghan and the amount of negative press. Like, I do absolutely agree that the level they have got compared to the Prince Andrew stuff is wild.
Wild. Like, ridiculous.
By the FBI. Oh, Meghan ordered avocado toast and it's like front page news. But like, yeah, Prince Andrew is under investigation.
Like,
so slightly mentioned.
Yeah, I love how people always bring it up on Twitter. Like anytime there's like a big story about Meghan or something like that, people are like, the FBI literally are looking to interview Prince Andrew.
That was another part of the Oprah interview I was annoyed about. Like when she was like, you know, there's no area we can't go to. I was like, oh, let's get it. And then like no mention. I don't know if that was legal reasons, but like, I just thought that was weird as well.
Mm.
I mean, I tweeted it on the at the time. I would have loved Tommy Tiernan to just have done it, you know? He's just,
oh my God, yeah.
He would get them to say anything. Just look at them and go, yeah. She'd be like, okay.
She'd be like, listen.
I just think he's so good at that though, isn't he?
Yeah.
Sits there and then someone's like, I killed a man. Like they just like tell him.
He'd be like, so did the queen boot you out or what?
Yeah. And then
they'd be like, yeah.
Yeah. Could we start a petition to get Harry and Meghan on the Tommy Tiernan show?
Oh my God. We have so many petitions going. Like our McDonald's one.
Number one. McDonald's. It's a hate crime. Me and Kendra decided.
It's a hate crime.
It's a hate crime. You can't order sauces on the McDonald's.
You can order sauces. You just can't order the sweet and sour sauce, which is the elite sauce at McDonald's, in my opinion.
You can order other sauces.
You can. You can order like
barbecue,
sour cream and chive or something. I'm like, I don't want that with my nugs.
I tried to order. So you can get sweet and sour sauce if you order chicken nuggets. And I was saying together, I did it one time. No sweet and sour game, right?
Like the most devastating thing to ever happen to you.
I honestly was like, I don't even want to eat this now. Then the other day I got them and they did arrive and I sent it into the Goss WhatsApp and I was like, trigger warning, because the sauce was actually there. What's the other hate crime we have going that we've petitioned for?
Can
you just think about
what
this?
What is it?
We're always coming up with petitions. Some things just aren't right in the world. But yeah, I would love to see them on Tommy Tiernan. Like it's never gonna happen, honestly.
No, never, but like we can dream.
We can dream. And then moving on from Harry and Meghan, we have to talk about the splits that have happened.
So many splits. The biggest of all, Kim and Kanye.
Kim and Kanye, you weren't surprised at all, were you?
I wasn't surprised, but I was like very sad because as you know, I am a long time Kimye stan.
You stan them both separately and together.
Yeah. But no, I wasn't surprised at all. Like, you know, obviously all that stuff happened last year. When he was doing his presidential campaign, the kind of cracks started to show. It was like last July when he did his rally and he spoke about almost aborting their...
He accused Kim Kardashian of trying to abort North.
Yeah. And like, it's just, it's such a personal thing to talk about. And, you know, there was sources at the time saying that she was furious, blah, blah. And then, you know, he went on a lot of Twitter rants and there was a lot of shocking things written there. So I think we knew that they were in trouble for a long time. And then it was kind of towards the end of last year, it seemed like things had kind of gotten better. You know, she went on, let's not speak of that big trip to that island. Remember her 40th birthday. But anyway, on that trip, he organized that hologram of her dad. Which was equal parts terrifying and equal parts kind of like nice. I still don't know.
It's not like for me. Like, I think that's weird. Not that like there's anyone dead that I need to visit me, but like I just,
yeah, it was very strange. So at the time people were kind of like, oh, like they seem kind of okay. And then in January, so remember when wasn't it Page Six that reported that they were talking about getting divorced and everyone was like,
hired Laura Wazer, which is a really famous divorcee. Like she represented Angelina Jolie and she did Kim and Chris's divorce, so that was such alarm bells.
Yeah, God, remember Chris Humphries.
You know what's wild about this whole thing is how we have such an inside track, like the fact that Keeping Up with the Kardashians, and it's something I do always really admire about all of them. I know there's so much criticism over the Kardashians, but like they really don't hide anything on it. Like they do, except for Kourtney, like, but Kim and Khloe, like they do go places that like are uncomfortable. Like,
yeah, especially Khloe.
And like the Kris stuff too. Like, I mean, they got divorced so quickly. And the weird thing about the Kanye story that makes me sad is like, she always said like it was her, she had just turned 30. She wanted a fairy tale. She kind of rushed into the Kris thing. She just wanted the happy ending. And then it was like, during that time, Kanye realized he was like, in love with her. Mm. And then she realized it too. And then they got together. And I kind of was like, oh, like things do work out in the end. And then I'm like, do they? Obviously kids together, beautiful kids together. But I feel like it hasn't really been discussed how devastating this must be for her. There's a lot of focus on Chloe and Tristan, but no one's really talking about Kim because she's coming across very together. But I'm sure she's devastated.
Heartbroken, yeah, because, you know, and especially because a few years ago, the focus would have been all on Chloe and how fucking shite her thing with Tristan was.
Yeah.
And Kim was always the solid one who had this amazing husband, amazing kids. They were both geniuses. They were both billionaires. It was like amazing. And now it's kind of fallen apart. And yeah, I think she's trying to put on a front, being like, everything's grand. But I'm sure she is heartbroken. She's 40. She has 4 kids with him, you know. And it seems like she really did try to make it work. And it just didn't.
Yeah, I know. I wonder, like, I know obviously this is the last season of Keeping Up now. Like, you've been watching it. I haven't watched it yet. Do you think they're going to go into what happened with her and Kanye?
No, I don't think so. They are addressing it. You know, they've kind of had where the cameras are kind of filming Kim from far away as she's like on the phone to someone on Kanye's team and stuff. So they are addressing it in a way, but they're definitely not going to go into detail.
We've said this so many times before in the podcast, before we even knew they were spitting up. Like, if I was married to someone who's like, right, we're moving to Wyoming or we're going here, I'd be like, what?
Like absolutely not.
I'd move them all to Chicago. Then all of a sudden being like, I'm going to go for president of the United States. Like, it's so much to take. And I think it's important as well to mention the fact, obviously, Kanye's been battling, you know, bipolar disorder. And Kim has talked about that. And when he was doing these rants or whatever, people were like, no, like, he's actually not well. And Kim had to come out. And I'd say that was really hard for her to have to come out and basically defend him when he was out there libeling his own wife, like, suggesting she cheated on him. Then suggesting she tried to get an abortion. Like, North is not that young. I'm sure people in her past know that, like, this story is out there. Like, all that stuff is so damaging. So I actually think Kim has handled things really maturely. Like, sometimes with Chloe, like, I do love her, but, like, you know, she's always putting stuff up where, I don't know, she's always passively aggressively talking about things without talking about it. And
putting those quotes on Instagram.
Yeah, like creating headlines. Miss Kim hasn't said anything. And I kind of have to say I admire that a little bit. Like, she's just keeping it silent. And you compare it, the reason I talk about this, because Laura Wazer is also Angelina Jolie's attorney. And I was talking about this the other day on RTE, the difference between Kim and Kanye's divorce and Brad and Angelina's. So Brad and Angelina's is going on for years now.
Years.
With all these leaks constantly coming out. So, I mean, they seem to be somehow coming from Angelina's camp. I don't know if they're coming from her or it's someone that knows her, but a lot of things.
And they're very on her side.
Kind of. On her side, you know, and they're very damaging to Brad. You know, like, there was a leak that she's willing to testify against him. Remember, there was a report that something happened between him and Maddox
coming on the private jet. Yeah.
There was like a suggestion of domestic violence is the word that was used in the documents, but obviously I don't think we can say it was domestic violence, but there was some sort of incident between him and Maddox. But that got leaked, first of all. Then it was leaked that she's going to testify. Then it got leaked literally the other day that like his 3 kids want to testify against him. So like, not only is that damaging to his reputation, it's damaging to his career. There's a lot of insiders saying that this divorce is going to take years. Like, they're still not divorced. She wants complete custody of the kids. He's fighting for custody. So it's just funny. Like, you would think out of those 2 couples that Kim and Kanye is where the drama was going to be. But actually, like, they're not being dramatic. They're not actually recording what's going on for Keeping Up, which I think a lot of people would have said that that's what Kim would have done. So, like, you have to respect them a bit. And also, like, they're protecting their kids by not leaking these things, not discussing these things. And then you look at Brad and Angelina and you're like, the same thing happening there.
Yeah.
But what do you think is going to happen now? So obviously Kanye just responded to her actual divorce proceedings this week. He said also filed for a reconciliation.
Yeah, so it seems like things are pretty amicable. Like, they both want joint custody of their kids. Kanye is still in Wyoming. Who knows what he's doing? He's probably recording like 10,000 albums at one time. So, but at the same time, some reports have come out saying that they have no contact at all, and that, you know, when they want to change over with the kids, she's contacting members of his team.
So, I kind of do
as well, just from the most recent episodes of Keeping Up. She's on the phone to members of his team rather than speaking to her husband on the phone. It's bizarre, the whole thing. So
he ended the marriage, so I'd say he's quite like,
yeah, pissed off.
Off about the whole thing, but I feel like she's made the right decision for her family. I'm still a bit on edge about it. Like, I just think
I feel like something is gonna happen.
I feel like he's gonna blow up at someday on Twitter again. And I know, like, he's not well, so it's just like a weird situation, but I feel like it's not gonna end there. Like, I just think something's gonna be said, but maybe she's getting him to sign NDAs and stuff like that. That's what you'd hope, because I know her whole life is a reality show, but like, this is like their kids, it's like family. It's like, yeah. I just think it's not right to leave these things, and that's why with Angelina thing, it's like, I don't like that sort of thing, that like the kids, the stuff with the kids is coming out. I'm just like, they have to grow up in this world and go to school and go to high school and try to make a way for themselves with all of their classmates knowing they're like dirty laundry. Like, I just think it's wrong.
Yeah,
whereas not learning about this, I think, is only going to protect the kids. But god, like, the kids are so young. Like, what age is Chai?
Shy is like two.
She's the youngest, isn't she?
No, Sam is the youngest.
Sorry, always forget about Sam.
Yeah. He's only like, I think he's going to be two.
It's sad, like watching, like when you actually look at their family, like they've all like just not worked out in terms of love and relationships, which is really weird. Like, if you think about, well, obviously we don't know anything about Kendall, so god knows, she could be married for all we know. But Kylie, obviously, Travis didn't work out.
Don't know what's going on there, because it seems like they kind of are
together.
Sometimes together and then sometimes not.
And then Chloe and him are clearly back together. But like, if Kim and Kanye couldn't make it, the two most obsessed people with each other, I can't, like, come on. Tristan, no. I can't see it happening. And then Courtney and Scott, and then Courtney and Eunice. I don't know. It's weird, like, watching it from afar.
What do you think of Courtney and Travis Barker?
Wild.
But I kind of love it.
Yeah, I think this could be. I think when you watch the Kardashians, like, a lot of people would say that Courtney seems so wound up and so uptight and like stressed all the time and everything. I feel like he's probably so chill and so easygoing, and they've been friends for a long time.
Yeah, I think that's cute.
It could actually end up being a thing. Like, she never really talked about Eunice, and I just feel like with Travis, she's very out there with him. Like, she must think this is it. Like,
the one thing that like kind of breaks my heart though is that, like, I know this is probably heartbreaking for Scott. I know he's with Amelia Hamlin at the moment, but like
a million people, I was like, I know.
It's just so sad, because I think he is still absolutely mad about her, but they'll just never get back together.
It's so, like, sad. Why is he going out with these like barely adult women? Like, they can't even legally drink. It's so bizarre.
I think he is like too afraid
to fall in love for real.
Yeah, and that's why he's kind of just going for these young gals. I don't know.
I do feel really sorry for Scott. Like, obviously, when you watch the earlier seasons, you're like, Scott's an absolute prick. But like, if you follow his journey from start to end,
he's had such a tough life.
Such a tough time. But I also feel he's done a really good 360. Like, I just think he has changed a lot. And if you compare him now to the final season from like the earlier seasons, he's got a handle on himself. Like, I know he has had to go back to rehab, but like, we're not seeing these like anger bursts. We're not seeing these wild situations. He seems to really care about the kids. He wants to have all this family time with Courtney. Like, it sounds like him and Sophia Richie broke up because of the amount of time he spends with Courtney and the kids. So like, all of that feels very mature to me. And when you compare it to before, like, I don't know, but I just think Courtney would never be able to forgive what happened in the past. I think she's so stuck on what happened before. And obviously, like, when you even the season when she was pregnant with their latest child, remember he like disappeared for days and she was I mean,
wasn't that when they were in the Hamptons? It was like Courtney and Kim take the Hamptons or something.
But like, the weight of that must be horrendous. Like, having an addict in your life like that is really, really tough. So I can understand.
And I'd say there's so many things we don't know.
I know. I think like all the time with the Kardashians, right? Because we see so much. and they're so honest and they show us so much. If that's what they show us, what are they not? Like, do you remember in Lamar's biography?
Oh my God, yeah.
He talked about Chloe thing. And Chloe knocking into this motel and he was like in a room full of prostitutes. I was like, what? And he
said, well, like claimed that Chloe like beat the shit out of like a girl or something. Like, what?
Like, where were the cameras when that happened?
Where?
Right. Right, there's probably way more that goes on, but I'm excited to watch the end of the show, but I don't think this is it. Like, I know they have this Hulu deal, isn't it?
Yeah, Kim only tweeted the other day actually that it's coming really soon. So
I know, I remember we had Perez Hilton on the podcast. He was saying that they need to do the Kardashians kind of like TOWIE. Imagine it was a weekly, like based on last week. But like,
yeah, like more in real time.
Yeah, we've always said that about the Kardashians. It is annoying sometimes when like we're watching something and it's like the Christmas episode and it's July and you're like,
yeah. And sometimes I think they just do stupid things to fill airtime. Like in the most recent episode, Chloe and freaking Tristan like go searching for UFOs or something, and it's just so stupid and boring. And I'm just like, you have the most interesting life ever. This is shit.
Or like, yeah, a lot of the times the Chloe and Scott storylines, it's definitely just to get
Scott. Yeah, it's just a filler. Yeah. Just
like, let's give Scott his paycheck, let's throw him. Or like the kind of pranks they play on Chris. I'm just like.
Yeah, they're sometimes funny though. The Todd Crane's one was good.
I agree. It's the final season. Like, why are you putting weird things in? Like, yeah. That's the dirt.
I need the dirt.
Dirt. A-Rod and J-Lo. The two people that have names, I've just realized, A-Rod, J-Lo.
I know, perfect names, but you know, not perfect for each other.
Not perfect for each other.
I know.
I think that's wild about A-Rod. I don't know if you've followed his romances over the years, have you?
Kind of. Like, I remember when he was with Cameron Diaz.
He's been with a lot of, like, gorge young women, and it never worked out. And there's always been allegations of cheating with every person he's ever been with, like, ever. So I remember when him and J-Lo got together, I was like, I didn't think it was going to last, but she's such a powerhouse. And like, God, if I was a man, J-Lo, like, obviously, you would. Like, she's an absolute.
Oh my God, yeah, and she's like 50 and she looks.
Just by 21. But I don't know. Then they had this whole Modern Family thing going on and the kids were all hanging out.
Yeah.
She actually did a really good interview with Oprah Winfrey. I don't know if you've listened to Oprah's or watched her Super Soul Sunday series.
No, I haven't.
But so you would be obsessed. I listened to them all during the winter lockdown. I can't remember which one. I listened to the podcast, but they're actually on YouTube. You can watch them. But J-Lo was on one and like they were talking about A-Rod and stuff. And she seemed really happy. And she was like, our kids all mingle and he's this and he's that and it's all good. But obviously there's been so many rumors, and this really reminded me of Cheryl and Liam Payne. Do you remember when the rumors started to come out that they're breaking up? They like went OTT.
Remember they went to that awards show?
Brits.
Yeah.
Newton had ran the story. In fairness to Dan, he's never wrong. People always are like, it's not true. Like Meghan and Harry leaving, and then it was like, shit, it was true. But I remember Cheryl and Liam making such this big thing, taking loads of selfies. They were notoriously private, but suddenly they were like posting loads of pictures, and they went to the Brits. When the rumors came out about J-Lo and A-Rod a few weeks ago, first of all, she put up an amazing TikTok, which I'm obsessed with, but the music is now gone from it. It's just so annoying.
She deleted it.
Oh, she deleted it.
Yeah, it's gone.
Anyway, I love that video. But like in it, it was like talking about rumors and it was like all the headlines of her and A-Rod, and then his face like, fuck you. And then they went to Turks and Caicos, was it? Is that where they were?
No, so they went to the Dominican Republic where she's filming Shotgun Wedding.
And there was all these lovely photos. And I just knew, I was like, the countdown is on. They're going to announce the split. And it must be so horrible. Like, if I was in the spot like that, and I was having a tough time with my boyfriend, and I knew something could come to an end, I'd obviously want to fight back to you. I'd want to be like, no, like, it's fine. But then it's like, shit, no, it's not.
Yeah.
But I mean, another sign I always felt was that, like, they seemed to never be getting married. Like, they kept being like, oh, whenever, like, some point. They were never actually deciding to get married.
Well, like, so before the corona freaking happened, they were actually planning on getting married last summer in Italy. which is like one of the worst affected places. So she actually did an interview with Andy Cohen in December, and she kind of explained what happened. She was like, look, we were planning to get married in Italy, blah, blah. Obviously that didn't happen. And then she was at the time, and I remember thinking it was weird. She was like, you know, like it'll happen when it happens. And she kind of seemed like she wasn't really that arsed about it.
Yeah. That's like alarm.
Yeah. Alarm.
And I also feel, we've said this before about people in general, but I also think when couples are so OTT on Instagram, I'm always like, what's going on there?
It always makes they were OTT.
Yeah, it just always makes me feel like something's missing. But I feel sorry for her. Like, what's with all these like ambitious, gorgeous, creative, rich women? And like they are losing out on like these relationships, and like love just isn't happening. Like, is it the people they're going for? Is it the guys that they're setting their sights on? Like, it's
like if Kim Kardashian and Jennifer Lopez can't hold a man down, do we have any hope?
Do we? You put it like that. And Cheryl and Jennifer.
You know what I love, actually, I did a story on it this morning. Last night, I don't know if you saw Kim's story, but she was in Miami. And like she never goes out, and she was like in a club and everything. So I love how like it's obviously Kim Kardashian. She's the most beautiful woman in the world, but she's just like you and me. We're like, if you break up with someone, you're like, right, I need to go out. Need to wear an unreal outfit, get a good pic, put it on Insta.
I remember when, like, not when, because it would have been really small, but I remember watching documentaries about Prince William and Kate when they were getting married. And they were talking about the time when they took a break. Remember, they took like a break for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And in it, they said that like when it happened, Kate like started wearing these knee-high boots and started getting spotted out in clubs. Like she kind of led the paparazzi there. Like, so instead of being like, oh, William, she just started going out. And everyone always says that's what made it all happen, that he basically said, oh, I want you back. So like even princesses in waiting, like even Kim K, she's like, show him what he's missing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It works, girls.
Still keep thinking, were you silence?
Or were you silent? So good.
I can't cope. Will we leave it there? All the breakup news.
Yeah, I think so.
That's odd.
Oh, didn't we want to mention the bold type though as well, which we're both loving?
Love how we're both like, none. Let's end on a high note. So Kendra was like, well, after I got my vaccine, I was so tired. And Kendra was like, you should start watching the bold type. And every time you suggest a show, I don't know why I don't just watch it immediately, because I'm always like,
I know, because I'm always right and know the love.
But if you guys haven't seen it, it's about these three girls that work in a magazine, which is clearly like Vogue, obviously.
Yeah.
Although
it was, but it's like, actually inspired by the life of the former editor-in-chief of Cosmo.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, it is actually very Cosmo, isn't
it? Yeah. It's all like sex, yeah.
But it's so funny, like every time they say the word Scarlet, I'm always thinking of like Scarlet for your ma. Like
I can hear
like the Dublin like Scarlet, Scarlet. It's so addictive. I haven't even watched the whole first season. Maybe I have, I don't know. But I'm trying to not binge it because I just love it so much.
So much. I have a few episodes left. So there's 4 seasons on Netflix. And I have a few episodes left of season 4. And then it's so sad because the final season is actually just wrapped filming. So it's actually a Freeform show. So it's a channel over in the US. It's kind of like the CW. I think it's attached to ABC or something, but that's what it's on over in the US. So they've just finished filming that, which is sad because I don't want it to end.
I'm trying to think of things I'm looking forward to seeing. I'm looking forward to seeing the Sex and City reboot. I know people
that
the coronavirus plays a part in it, but I'm like, no, that's fair enough. Like, nothing's talking about COVID. And the fact that Aiden is back.
I know.
Is Big dead? Is Samantha dead? Samantha's not back.
I have a feeling, that Samantha might be dead.
I think they're going to be like, her cancer came back.
Yeah, I think so.
And they might do a funeral for her or something. And at the funeral, she'll see Aiden because he'll be like, oh, I read in the newspaper that she died. And she's like, Aiden.
God, yeah.
I should just write this.
You should.
But there's obviously going to be some sort of replacement for Kim because you need that sexual element in Sex in the City. Like, you can't not have a character who's riding around. I'd say there's going to be a younger character who teaches them all about their after Big's death or something. Sorry, I'm saying everyone's dying. Like, maybe
yeah.
Whoa. And like there was a train crash. Maybe they could die of COVID. Like, I don't know.
Oh my God, that would be crazy.
But like, this is what could happen in the world. Like, but I'm excited for that. What else am I really excited for to come back? Have you ever seen Succession?
No, but I should start watching. I know.
So you will die. It's literally basically.
Is it really that good?
It's one of the best TV shows I've ever seen in my entire life. Now, okay. I know it's about The Affair. The Affair is quite long. Succession, there's only been two seasons, but it's meant to be based on Rupert Murdoch and his family.
Yeah, I've kind of heard what it's about.
It is honestly, if I even hear the music of it now, I would just get so excited. Like, it's one of the best things I've ever seen. It's very dramatic and it's very dark, but every episode you're like, you just like, you have to get the next one. So I randomly
been on Netflix now.
On Now TV, if you've Now TV or Sky, you can watch it in box sets. Okay. But please watch it. I trusted you in the bold side. Okay, trust me.
Okay, I will. I will. I have so many things on my list.
Stop filming. They haven't even started filming the next series. I'm like sweating. I'm like, oh my God. It's the same when Line of Duty ended. I was like, sorry, you haven't. Like, our generation are just so used to the binging on Netflix. So when something's over, I'm like, what do you mean it's over? Where is the next?
What do you think of Line of Duty this season?
It's definitely not as
slow
as last season, but the last episode,
yeah, that the most recent episode was brilliant.
It was like over the page, sir. I was like,
the episodes before that were kind of shite.
You know what's funny though, and a lot of my friends have been saying that to me, like friends of mine that love the show are just like, oh, I don't know. I remember, have you seen The Fall, Jamie Dornan's show?
No, I haven't, and I still, I know. Another thing I need to add to my long list.
Anyway, The Fall was either two seasons, three seasons, I can't remember. I think it might be three. But anyway, the final season, when that aired, Jamie had just filmed 50 Shades. So he was massive. Whereas the other two seasons, he was known, but like it definitely didn't have as much of like a worldwide like eyes on it. Yes. The first like couple of episodes are literally a character that's in hospital, because I can't ruin it for you now. But anyway, it's very medical. It's like it kind of changed from chasing a serial killer to being medical. And everyone's like, this is just
bad. Everyone's like, are we watching Eeyore?
Yeah, I remember writing stories about it at the time and people were like, were you disappointed? And then in the final episode, like I rewatched The Fall. God, I've honestly watched 100 new series during lockdowns. For fuck's sake. I rewatched it during one of the lockdowns. And still to this day, the final episode in that series, I literally can't even take a breath. It's so dramatic. Like, it's like they did it on purpose, if the series was kind of slow. And then suddenly you're like, and I just have a feeling that Jed Mercutio, he's the writer of Line of Duty, I feel like that's what's happening. Because the last episode was randomly dramatic. But then I just feel like someone's going to just like get their head sliced off in the next episode. Something crazy is going to happen. But remember as well, he made Bodyguard.
So good. I'm obsessed with Richard Madden as well.
There's an argument there. One of my friends saying to me the other day, like maybe Line of Duty needs to go out on a high as well. I don't know.
Yeah, and that's what I was actually thinking about the bold type. Because one of the... So I used to watch Game of Thrones. I was such a big fan of Game of Thrones, but they fucking ruined it. Like the final season. The final season was really disappointing. So many people were disappointed about it. So I do agree, like some shows need to just end while they're still good.
You know what? I would honestly just keep watching Line of Duty for Aidan Dunbar with his
mother of God.
He's one of the best interviews I've ever had, actually.
Yeah, he was so nice.
So nice. Some of the stuff when he's like, mother, or would you say something like, no evidence? I'll show you no evidence. That's the last one.
I love him.
It doesn't even make sense, but I love it. And then the other one before we go, Friends Reunion. Now, I'm a bit confused about this. I was talking about this on RT today with Donnie and Moore. Like, they've all said that they're not going to be in character.
No, it's literally just them chatting about it.
Like, sorry.
So it's just a reunion special. And I've heard through like rumors and stuff that it's going to be hosted by James Corden.
Oh, I saw that.
There is lots of questions over who was going to host it. Apparently it's James Corden.
But like, I think people wanted to see like Ross and Rachel married 20 years later and like Emma.
But it was never going to be like that.
But I think that's what fans have been calling for though, yeah, years. And I think that's why there's disappointment. But I was saying the other day, and I do agree with this, talking again about ending on a high, I think if they did do what everybody wanted, which was an actual reunion, I don't know, would have just ruined it. Like, there's so much talk about how Sex and the City has been destroyed by those two movies. Like, people just hated the second one in particular. But now that I'm really into the bold type, I kind of want a bold type movie. I don't want it to end. But it's so hard to know where to make it go. I think it would be
great. I think the whole Sex and the City thing is stupid. I actually freaking love those movies. They're gas.
I didn't really like
them. Like, they're obviously kind of shite, but like, it's what people want. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, you wanted to see freaking Aiden come back and stuff.
I think the thing is like, Sex and the City has kind of been like Vogue or Cosmopolitan. Like, as in, it's been like almost an agony aunt, and each episode you'd learn this like life lesson. Another thing I rewatched during lockdown, but I remember you'd watch an episode and be like, yeah. Whereas with the movies, it's so different because it has to be this one storyline. And like the whole wedding with Big and everything, like, I wasn't happy with that whole ending. Like, they didn't talk to them for months, but then suddenly they see each other in the closet and it's like, it's all good, I forgive you. I was like, do you?
Sorry, can we just talk about one of the most powerful scenes ever when she like hits him with the flowers and then Charlotte's like, no!
No, I love Charlotte. The only part of that scene I didn't like was how she dropped the phone. I was like, oh, like, it was so,
yeah, funny. It like dramatically fell to the floor.
I didn't like the headpiece, I'm gonna be honest with you. I was like,
oh yeah, it was like a peacock or something.
If a man did that to me, there's no way I would just go back into his arms when I saw him in the closet. I'd be like, sorry, like, what the fuck?
Oh my god, absolutely not.
It's weird how that, I think that's probably why, whereas I just think in the series Carrie just makes slightly better decisions. But this is what I think is going to happen. Like I said, Samantha's going to die. Let's say Big doesn't die, because I don't want too many deaths. Samantha dies and they're at the funeral and Aiden goes, and then she realizes Aiden's like divorced from his wife and she's like, oh my god. And then there's some young character in there telling everyone about Bumble and Tinder and Hinge and Rotten. I don't know if Hinge is in America. And she'll try to do all these dating things. And
yeah, I think you're right.
I think
maybe they'll bring back, remember Jennifer Hudson was in,
yeah, I loved her in it actually.
Yeah, she could come back as maybe one of the younger characters.
She's back to her town to get married though. I don't want everyone to get divorced.
Oh yeah, that's true.
But that's what I think will happen. So if Big doesn't die, maybe they just get a divorce. But wait, did they not say in the last one they weren't gonna, oh, they did get married, didn't they? But then,
yeah, they did.
I don't know, the whole ending was weird to me. It was like, in the end, we just did the civil service. I'm like, that's not very Carrie Bradshaw.
Did they get married? Yeah, no, they did.
Yeah, but they got married in a registry office.
Yeah.
They're not our registry office, obviously, like the New York one, which is like glam. But I don't know. I just felt in the end, she kind of gave up a lot of herself and she went against her morals, the stuff she's been writing in her columns for years, the things not to do. I feel like she gave all that up in the end. Like, why didn't she just stay with Aiden? Like,
yeah. And controversial opinion, but I think Aiden's hotter.
Oh, I think so. Oh,
a lot of people would disagree. I think
it's not that I actually think Big is hotter, because you watch The Good Wife.
No.
You know, he plays the husband in that, and he's a very different character in that. But it's not that I fancy Big, but I do like that tall, dark, handsome man who treats you like shit. So obviously.
Whoa.
Aiden is like, Aiden's the one you should marry.
Yeah.
You have your fun.
Little furniture maker, designer.
And even remember in the Dubai one, was it the Dubai one where he turns around and he has the baby, or sorry, out of, and he has the baby cradle. So you never see, they could be like, get the fuck off me. Like, I just. Yeah. I don't know. Very interesting to see where it goes. I would love her and Aiden to end up together.
Yeah, I would like that a lot.
And I hope Miranda and Steve are good. Like, I have all these hopes.
Oh yeah, Steve.
But I think Kim Cattrall would be dead. Also, just because Sarah Jessica Parker is the executive producer and they clearly have had a massive falling out. I just feel,
yeah,
unless she wants to come across like the bigger person, she could not kill her off and just say she's
I just don't know how they'll like go about it.
If she's not dead.
Yeah, because they can't just be like, oh, she's on holiday. Like,
people be like, why don't you just WhatsApp her?
Yeah, you know.
Video call her. Very interesting.
It is disappointing that she's not going to be back because she's just such an iconic character and she always brought like the laughs to the show.
It is sad how like the demise of their relationship played out so publicly. What actually kicked that all off? Was she the person who said at some point she was just like, me and Sarah Jessica Parker never got on? I feel like it came out of nowhere one time.
Yeah, and by the way it's been perceived is that they never really got on.
I know, maybe so, you look at all the scenes of them together and you're just like, were you nearly excited?
I know. Like, it makes me so sad. I'm like, it's all a lie.
It is weird that she wouldn't go back for the fans, but I guess she's done it so many times now. She obviously went back and did those movies. But like, do you remember when her mother died? And Sarah Jessica Parker was like, I'm so sorry. And she was like,
hey, no, I think it was her brother.
Oh yeah. But she was so like aggressive. I was like, oh yeah. My God.
That post is still up. I remember a while ago, I was like writing about the reboot and I was kind of like writing about what had happened between them before, and the post is still there. I was like, oh my God.
Oh my God.
Very dramatic.
But yeah. Do we know when that's happening? Have they started filming?
I don't think they've started filming yet. They're meant to have started this spring. So I don't know.
I'm just excited to hear more about it because if the first big surprise is like Big isn't coming back, I presume that was like a decision of his, wasn't it? Isn't that kind of the way the reports came out?
I don't know, because Page Six reported it, but then he like someone commented on his Instagram or something like that and was like, why aren't you coming back, whatever, and he was like, don't believe what you read in the rags or something like that.
Oh,
so he's kind of hinted that he might be coming back, so I don't know.
That would be like the greatest shock of all time if like the leak is incorrect.
But John Corbett, who played Aiden, like he properly said in an interview, he was like, yeah, I am coming back. So that's like a fish.
I'm so excited. Actually, as well, before we go, final thoughts on this, Bridgerton and the Duke not returning. Like, I feel like we don't fully know the truth in that situation, because obviously we know that every Bridgerton novel is based on a different member of the Bridgerton family. That's fine, everybody knew that. But given how the Duke and Daphne, like, they just went down so well, they were like the it couple of the season, they're both super famous, almost normal people level of like Paul Mescal and Daisy Atkins. Now he's being tipped to play Bond. I don't understand why he's not coming back. Like, he's not meant to be playing a pivotal role, but like people on the Bridgerton side have said he was meant to be in some
scenes. A few scenes. From the reports that are going around, he was asked to appear in like maybe the first two episodes and he was like, no. I just think that's so bizarre, especially when the show has catapulted you into fame. Like, I know he was in things before and he was kind of relatively famous, but this is like next fucking level fame.
But I said that to you, like, imagine there was a new season with more people and Paul Mescal's like, no, you're grand. Like, that's the show that made you, I don't know, I feel like we just don't know the truth of the situation. Obviously, a lot of people are saying it's because of Bond, but like, do you think that's what's actually happening?
Maybe.
But like, even
I think he has like things on the horizon and he's just like, I'm too big for this
now. I do feel sorry for Phoebe Denver though, because I just feel like she's part of the Bridgerton family, she's gonna have to be in it, but you'd wonder, are some of her scenes gonna be cut a bit short now,
because
people want to know what's going on with her and the Duke. Is she gonna mention him? Like, I don't know, it's just, it's very weird, but I was really sad about it. I just thought he was amazing in it. Like, I loved them together as a couple, and it's sad
thing. Oh, God.
Unless they, like, replace him and have him in the background of, like...
I don't think they do that. And it's really disappointing as well, because obviously, spoiler alert, if you haven't watched Bridgerton, by the way, obviously, at the end, they, like, have the baby and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's at the very end. So we don't actually get to see them as, like, a cute little family.
Yeah.
And I'm just not going
to
see that.
It would have been nice to see that. Yeah, it's disappointing for fans, including me. But I love that Nicola Coughlan is playing such a pivotal role.
Who won? Love her.
Best Actress 2021. But I love that she's back, and I'm loving her style. Actually, I'm loving all of her red carpet at home and all that stuff. For the awards shows, like, I think she's just killing it at the moment. It's amazing to see an Irish actress like do so well out of it. Yeah. Maybe she's going to be in like every book season, do you think?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think so.
Well, look, we shall leave it there. Hopefully you enjoyed, and we shall do this again.
Woo! It was actually so nice to like do it, kind of seeing each other, you know,
face to face. I'm like, hello. I can see your bedroom. I get to jump.
I know my bed.
I love, oh. You see my Gossies cue cards are in the background. I'm like, I can put a few more in there. yeah, hopefully we'll do this again next week, and hope you enjoy it.
Okay, bye.
Well, that hit the spot.